We're going to deal tonight specifically with Bible diet and testosterone, and this will be explained as we progress. We've touched upon this through the past and talked about some of the ways that this modern environment, modern so-called food, how it is feminizing the boys, feminizing men, and touched upon how some of the latest health food fads for supposedly making you manly and healthy, maybe one day I'll try to search it out and follow the money, but I do believe that I can follow the philosophies and see what's happening, and I do believe that there is a conspiracy to actually use the health food market to continue to put you upon estrogenic, or shall we say, foods that actually decrease your testosterone, while the whole time you think you're building up your testosterone. And they use marketing, they use fancy ads, they plant certain propaganda, and it is a really horrible thing that's happening to the men of America. So let's go ahead and begin. Lord, we do pray you'll bless our study. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God. It is sufficient to meet our every need, Lord. And you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we do thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've studied in previous messages on this series how the Bible defines manliness. Continually in the Bible, it's defined as courage, fortitude, pluck, in the face of dangers, pressures, responsibilities. When you're able to do your job, get it done, whatever faces you, when you're able to overcome it by the Lord Jesus and have courage about it and deal with the pressure without fainting, that's called valor in the Bible. It's manliness. It's valor when the majority of others are or would be weak and fainting. And that's the definition of biblical manliness. It's presented by the Word of God. And I gave you the verses last week about that. You can look at 1 Corinthians 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. In other words, don't move. When you know something's right, when you know God's right, God's always right, but when you know you have the truth, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. That means overcome, get it done, be strong. Quit means don't quit. And I think God gave you that, so you'll remember it. There's quit, which means quit, and there's also quit that means don't quit. And the Bible's saying quit, meaning get it done, finish, do what you have to do, be strong. And in regard to all this, we must not raise boys to be whiny quitters. We've been raised in a generation to be whiny quitters, to faint and to pout, to not have that follow through, to say you can't take it anymore, to say you can't do your duty. You should not be expected to do your duty. And that is why we have the mess that we have in our churches, in our homes, and in this country. There's no follow-through or ability or willingness to endure any hardness for holy or proper causes. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. It says, the glory of young men is their what? Strength. There it is. The glory of young men is their strength. You ought to be strong as a young boy. If you're a wimp, if you're a sissy, if you're a quitter, if you're whiny, then that's not the you're not walking in the glory God wants you to walk in. The glory of young men is their strength. Of course, Satan is in the perversion business. He comes to steal the strength from young men and hide it from them. And how are we therefore going to be strong as men? If the devil comes to steal your strength, if he wants you to be a bashful, weak, passive person, where you have no manliness, no courage, no boldness to speak up for what's right, to do what's right, then the devil's accomplishing his goal. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So the goal is to resist the devil when he comes to steal your glory from you. He wants to steal the femininity from the girls, from the women. He wants to steal the manliness, the strength from the young man. His ultimate goal would be to turn you into some pervert. I mean, if he can take God's creation and pervert you, then he's in the perversion business. So, we need to notice how to be strong as men. We need to notice some of what the Bible teaches us about how to be strong so we can teach these things to our sons. Well, let's look in the Bible to see how we are to be strong. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There it is. You know, the joy of the Lord, it comes from a good conscience. It comes from rejoicing, being thankful in the Lord, singing about the Lord, getting excited about the Lord, setting your affection on things above, on the Lord. And you know, the Bible says that strength, praising God for the right reasons, with clean hands, lifting holy hands to the Lord. That's strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the more you can get shouting and rejoicing in the Lord with a pure conscience, I tell you what, that's going to make you strong. It is going to be your strength. It's going to help you overcome what the devil throws before you. And if you could wake up in the morning and get your mind set on God, get excited about God, where you can get happy in the Lord and you can be thankful for what God's done, you'll have strength to overcome that day. You wake up mopey and moody, sucking your thumb, walking around moping and upset and vexed and sighing like a little girl that hasn't been disciplined properly, and men walking around fretting and sighing and that type of thing. No wonder the devil's able to throw things upon you and you have no strength to overcome it. You see that? Joy of the Lord, your strength. Let's start right there. Amen? What about Isaiah 40? But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Oh, we need some strength renewed. You need to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord like a waiter. It's not only patience, but it's coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Where should I go now? I need to listen to you. I need to check with you and all things acknowledge you. And that's very important. They to wait upon the Lord. And you know, a lot of people get impatient. They get heady, you know. They can't stand to go through those fires, through that exercise. They have to have what they want now. I have to get it now. And if the devil offers me a way to get it, I'll get it now. I can't wait. I can't wait. And I tell you what, it brings weakness. It brings instability when you can't wait on the Lord. And we ought to practice patience. We ought to practice letting patience have her perfect work in us, that we might be mature and as Christians be strong. And I tell you what, you practice patience in the Lord. Learn to wait upon God and wait for His blessing. The Lord was able to. I tell you, Satan came and offered Jesus, said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Well, Jesus knew He already had them. He just needed to wait upon the Lord's timing, right? So He went through the cross, waited upon the Lord, waited upon the Father, and praise God. And He is our example as well as the author and finisher of our faith. So, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and waiting upon the Lord is going to renew your strength. It says it in Psalms 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this is interesting. Part of having good courage is being strengthened. But He tells you here, if you will be of good courage, I'll strengthen you and give you good courage. And, you know, it's like when David encouraged himself in the Lord. I think if you'll just stand up, it's like trying to teach your boy or something when he needs to make a jump or he needs to just launch out, and you're trying to give him that. The Lord's saying, step out of the boat. Be of good courage. Take that step. Trust me. I'll be there with you. And then He will strengthen us. But we have to take that step toward Him. We have to believe. He'll strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Look at Psalms 31. Be of good courage. And there it is again. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. But He gives you the key right there at the end of the psalm, of the verse. All ye that hope in the Lord. You got to trust in God. Expect good things from Him according to His promises. And those that hope, those that wait, those that rejoice in the Lord are strong in Him. He strengthens you. And that's very important. Look at Job 17. I don't miss this. Verse 9. He that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Isn't that good? You dirty your hands up and you get weaker and weaker and weaker. You're not bold anymore. You lose your boldness. You lose your courage. But those that have clean hands, refraining your hands from evil, confessing your sin, wash you, make you clean. You'll be stronger and stronger, and you get stronger as a Christian. And I believe stronger as a man. Righteousness is what makes a man strong. And you got a world out here filled with the devil. And they said, if you'll be fierce and savage. And I've seen what he does to you. You walk around with your underwear down by your ankles and earrings hanging down, some kind of mohawk, probably pink or something. And you say, I'm manly. That's not manly. What in the world is that? And they say, well, I'm strong. I'm tough. That's not tough. There's nothing tough about that. He that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Clean hands. Righteousness. You know what? Those things that you can do that give you a good conscience, and a conscience in you. You don't have to be ashamed. When a man's ashamed, what happened to Adam when he got ashamed? He had to hide. And you know, Adam was sitting there sewing like a woman. That's what it said right there. That's what's going to happen to a man when he gets sin. The devil will turn you into a woman. Do you understand that? I don't mean literally, but I tell you what, he sure tries the best he can to get you doing whatever a woman's supposed to be doing. And for a woman to do what she's supposed to be doing, that's her glory. But for a man to leave what he's supposed to be doing and do what a woman's supposed to be doing, that's not glory. And Adam was hiding and he was ashamed. And that's what's wrong with this generation. And they have fear. They're very afraid. The wicked flee when nobody pursue. And they hide that fear behind that macho stuff or whatever it is. That's you hiding your fear. The fact that you can't look somebody in the eye without shaking. You understand that? And it's godliness that'll make us strong in the Lord. Godliness. Righteousness. Look at Psalms 138. In the day when I cried. Oh, he didn't just pray. He cried out to the Lord. Thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Well, I'm starting to learn here. I need to have clean hands. I need to be a good courage and hope. I need to wait on the Lord. I need to rejoice in the Lord. And now I'm learning I got to cast my cares upon Him. I got to cry to the Lord and He will strengthen me. So I see a praying man. I see a shouting man. I see a rejoicing man. I see a patient man. I see a righteous man. And the Lord says, as you start doing all these things, you take those steps and depend upon Me, I'm going to strengthen you. And this is the means by which I'm going to do it. Oh, I want to be strong, don't you? In all this, we're reminded, if we just want to sum it up, in all of this, we're reminded that sin and murmuring and ungratefulness and faithlessness and hopelessness and a prayerless life will make you weaker and weaker. The less you pray, the less you feel like praying. The more unrighteous you become, the harder it is to rejoice in the Lord and come clean. And you just get weaker and weaker and more ashamed, and then you feel so terrible and miserable, and you're walking around murmuring and complaining, and you just got a sissified, weak life. And that's not what God wants you to be. He doesn't want you walking around discouraged and fainting like that. And we've quoted this verse, Proverbs 28, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth." They don't even have anything to run from, and they're already running. But the righteous are bold as a lion. The Lord Jesus gives us a very important key in His words to Nicodemus. In John 3, notice what He says, "If I have told you earthly things," do you see that? "And you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Think about that for a second. Jesus said, if you don't believe what I say in regard to earthly things, what makes you think you're going to believe? How shall you believe heavenly things? Well, Jesus is the Word, is He not? He speaks through the Bible. So, to me, this is telling us that not only what the Lord said to Nicodemus, but He's given us a principle. If you don't believe what the Bible says about earthly things, what in the world makes you think you really do believe it about heavenly spiritual things? And this is scary. Because I don't see many Christians today that believe the Bible in regard to earthly things. But our Lord says, you know, you're just kidding yourself. You're deceiving yourself. "When I come, shall I find faith on earth?" says the Lord. What makes you think you have this faith? Oh, I believe God. I believe God. I don't believe anything He said about my body. I don't believe He knows what I'm supposed to eat. I don't believe He knows what man's supposed to run on, what kind of fuel. You know, He's the creator and designer, but He doesn't know how to feed me. And He really has no interest in those things. The Bible's a dead book when it concerns my body, when it concerns earthly things. That's how most American Christians act today. That's what they believe. And I'm asking a simple question with the Lord Jesus here. What makes you think you believe God about anything? And it is a good question, isn't it? I'd say there's a lot of spiritual things we have to believe. We have a coming kingdom. We have to set our affection on things above. We got Jesus that's coming and bringing New Jerusalem with Him. And He's coming in fire and brimstone and all of these things. I have to believe Him in regard to the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit over there in Galatians. I have to believe Him in regard to all of these things. That when I pray, He's going to answer. I have to believe Him in regard to His high priesthood, and I can confess my sins, and He will strengthen me and forgive me and cleanse me. There's so much I have to believe. But if you can't believe Him in regard to earthly things, how are you going to get over here into this higher Christian life if you don't even believe Him about earthly things? Or a similar principle is given to us in John's first epistle. He says it this way, 1 John 4, if a man say... See, there's a lot of people saying a lot of things, you understand? But if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he what? Hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Which is the same as he said over there, really, by application, over there in John chapter 3. What Jesus said. If you can't believe God in regard to things you can see and touch and that type, what makes you think you can believe God in the unseen world about the things that you can only see by faith? One application from these two verses would be to ask this. I'll sum it up again. If we will not believe God's Word when it comes to physical things that we can see, how can we believe concerning the spiritual things that we cannot see? Jeremiah 12, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how can thou contend with horses? I tell you what, how can you walk in the mature life? You can't even get the carnal immature down. You can't even walk as a babe. You can't even deal with earthly things. How are you going to get over here and deal in the spiritual thing and say, I trust God in the spiritual. I don't believe Him in the physical. Well, you can see the physical. You can see many of the results. You can see what's going on. But many people are struggling with faith right here in the physical, the basic, carnal, childish thing, elementary thing. And they're thinking that they're operating over here in this mature realm of faith. And really, there's going to be a judgment of the house of God. And there's people that think they're dressed up for God. And I tell you what, when He comes, and they think they're walking in faith and all of that, and He's going to look and see. And I'm not saying you're not saved in eternity, but I'm saying there's going to be some people that the Lord is going to judge when He comes that are going to be naked. And they're going to be ashamed, says 1 John chapter 2. They're going to be ashamed before Him at His sight. He's going to have some discipline for them. There is a strengthening of our physical lives through faith and obedience to the commands of God. Now notice what I just said here. Don't daydream on me. It says there is a strengthening of our physical lives through faith and obedience to the commands of God. Do you believe God can strengthen your physical life by obedience? I do. I do. I know emotionally and spiritually. I'm talking about your physical life can be strengthened by faith in His Word, by obedience to His command. Let me show you Psalms 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not how many of His benefits. All His benefits. Those that relate to the physical, those that relate to the spiritual, who satisfieth thy mouth with what type of things? Good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That's physical strength right there, buddy. God wants your strength to be renewed like the eagles. And He's telling you that if you wait on the Lord, you'll renew your strength. And now He's telling you that if you listen to God in regard of what to eat, not only will He supply, but He also authorizes and ordains and specifies what we should eat to renew our strength. Nowhere did God say that if you go over here and eat a bunch of poison presumptuously and operate in the realm of a fool, that you're going to renew your strength and be strengthened. He didn't say that. He says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And I believe these good things are the treasures of the Word of God. And I believe that includes things concerning your body. I believe that when God says not to eat much honey, but He says it's good to eat honey, but not to eat much of it, lest thou get sick and vomit, I think that's in the Word of God. I think God's telling us something. You understand? So a man gets out here and eats donuts every day and he's addicted to donuts. God said, don't even eat much honey. How much more should you refrain from man's imitation sugars and all of that mess? But man sits there and eats that stuff all day and then he's not strong physically. He's dying physically. All kinds of problems and complications with his body. And he says, oh, well, I wonder what my problem is. Your problem is you don't believe God. Your problem is you haven't believed God. You don't believe that God will satisfy your mouth with good things that will make you strong. That if you follow the principles of the Word of God in regard to your body, you'll be strong and you'll be stronger and you'll be like Caleb up there in his 80s and says, I feel like I did when I was 40. And he says, let me go and I'll show you. I'll go up the mountain and conquer some giants and I'll take care of them. And he did too, didn't he? He went up there in his 80s and he took care of business. And some of you, I'd like to have been there and watch you challenge him. Old Caleb, he was strong, wiry, tough. What made him like that? Faith. But faith included obedience unto God. It was the works that come through faith or by faith. Obedience to what God said. Was he eating like an Egyptian? You think Caleb was eating like an Egyptian? No, if he would have ate like an Egyptian, he would have ended up diseased and plagued like an Egyptian. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't believe God concerning physical things, I'm trying to show how we can raise godly, strong young men. And I believe this is the key. If we don't believe God concerning physical things, to what degree will we have faith and patience concerning the higher spiritual things that we cannot see? It's probable that God graciously ordained some of His power to be utilized through natural means to slay the enemies of Israel, those giants. Now, let me say that again, because I'm throwing out things and sometimes I don't think we're digesting. It's probable that God graciously ordained some of His power. Now, does God need to work through natural means? Of course He doesn't. God can just say, stand aside, and all of a sudden you wake up and all the enemy, they're dead. He can do that, can't He? He can do that. But that same God can also use means. He can work through your obedience to the physical to make you stronger. Let me show you. Deuteronomy 11. Therefore shall you keep, how many of the commandments? All the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land. Who is in the land? A bunch of giants. Whither you go to possess it. So God said, you keep all my commandments, I'll make you strong. Why didn't God say, you keep all my commandments and I'll knock out the giants for you? Well, ultimately, God does everything. You can't even breathe. In Him we have our being. We understand that. But I'm telling you that I believe they were keeping God's commandment, and I believe because they were eating right, that God, that's not the only way His power was manifested, but I believe that's one of the means. He had healthy people, strong people, because they were eating right. And in that mystery of God's sovereignty, as they were eating right, they were able to slay those giants. And God's able to work all things through natural means, through whatever means He chooses. But I got a verse right here, folks. It says, you keep His commandments, He'll make you strong. That's in the Word of God. We have things to do. You might not have literal giants to go slay, but you have things that are going to require manly strength. You might have buildings to put up. You might have people breaking into your house trying to mess with your children. Who knows what you're going to need strength for? You need strength to get up and go to work and deal with the daily grind and do all of these things. It's very important that we in the New Testament, because you're in the New Testament, don't say, oh, well, they needed strength back then, but I'm in the New Testament. And we've got this monkish idea of things that we walk around in a robe and you get really skinny and you just fade away decrepit. And somehow or another, that's glorious Christianity. And it comes out of Jesus dressed up like Zeus, looking like a woman in all these churches. And that's just ridiculous. Now, the idea that you're supposed to walk around and look at your biceps in the mirror and, you know, flex. And I'm not saying that you get fleshly like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I think Jesus was a carpenter, wasn't he? And he walked in and threw those tables over. And people didn't, I tell you what, they ran out of the place, didn't they? They didn't stick around. I tell you, he had that little whip and they knew he was going to do something with it. And I think he looked tough. I'll tell you, he didn't sit there and work all day out in that sun as a carpenter all his life and not get tough. You understand that? And not only that, he was perfectly righteous. So he had all the boldness and no shame that comes with being bold, being righteous before God. He had that confidence that comes from trusting in the Lord and being righteous. To keep these commandments and thus gain this strength like Israel, we need to fear the Lord and fear His commandment. That's a whole new concept. I think people don't really fear God's commandments. Probably they think they fear God, but they don't fear His commandments. How can you fear God and you don't fear what the man said, what your Lord said in any realm of authority? God gave you commandments. We ought to fear Him. Look at Proverbs 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandments shall be rewarded. That's all God's commandments. Isaiah 66:2. I mean, you ought to be afraid to eat too much honey. Just to go back to that, I'm giving you an analogy here. If God says, you say, well, there's spiritual things that that's teaching. Well, you ought to, if you can't digest the physical, what makes you think you're digesting the spiritual? I mean, there's people walking around all over this country, Baptist preachers, that are dying of diabetes and heart attacks, and they have to be carried into the pulpit, and week after week, they're barely able to go to church because they have a verse right here that says, don't eat too much honey. And they're not only eating honey, they're eating NutraSweet and Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper and every other junk that man could ever create in his little laboratory to mess your life up. And they don't believe, they don't fear it. God says you'll get sick and vomit. You will be sick if you eat too much honey. And they're eating this other garbage. Carbs everywhere and sweets and Little Debbie cakes and everything and cookies and all of this dead yeast, gross stuff. And they're eating it every single day and they're dying across America. And they're saying, believe God, have faith. Well, you can't even believe God in regard to the natural things. You don't even fear it. You ought to be afraid to disobey that verse. I'm afraid I'll get diabetes and die. God went to all the trouble to give me a verse in the Bible. I better obey it. Isaiah 66, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. That's the problem, right? God's called something unclean and gross. And so when I come out of the sky, somebody's eating that abomination. He says, I'm going to kill him. He calls it gross, calls it abominable, filthy. And even man comes along and says, there's all kinds of gross, filthy worms, and it's just sick, and prions, and all these worms you can't even see to get up in your brain and get in your... I think we ought to tremble. We ought to tremble to disobey the Word of God. So I have a verse and it gives me liberty. Well, I've dealt with that before. You better make sure you're not reading the NIV about that liberty. You better make sure biblical phrases, you're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things and you've really connected them phrases all throughout the Word of God, or you might end up in false doctrine just because your flesh wanted to eat something that was stinking. Amen. And ultimately, we must believe or trust that these commandments will benefit us. Psalms 119:42, I trust in thy word. You do these things because you trust God knows best. He's the maker, is he not? The maker knows best. He made me. Psalms 119:74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. But there's a great despising of God's commandments, and this weakens men. Look at Hosea 4, my people. That's my people. That's not the heathen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Are they despising the word? Yes, they are. Are they trembling before it? No. Are they hoping in it? Do they think it's going to benefit them? No, they reject it. That's not nothing for me. But they listen. They watch these ads and they see the commercial for the latest pharmaceutical whatever. They said, oh, it's a pill. And Dr. So-and-so. And look how happy these people are as they take those pills. I'll take my little pill and go make the drug companies millions of dollars. And so you'll have to be on other drugs and other things in this pharmaceutical world. And so here are these people popping these pills and living like the devil. And I tell you, they've rejected knowledge. They've rejected God's knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You know what? I believe that we've all been called to be priests in the New Testament if you're saved. You're supposed to be a priest unto God. You're supposed to show the people, the unbelievers, the way. You're supposed to help them and grow. And I believe God's saying, you know what? There's a lot of ministries that have been cut short because nobody believes God in regard to physical things. Their health has been cursed. And they've been cut off in the ministry far before it was ever God's intention. You read over there in the book of, in the Old Testament, it talks about a man dying before his time. And we see this happening. I will also forget thy children. There's a curse upon this land. There's a curse of infertility that's plaguing the land. And not only that, the children that are being born, many times are having problems and afflictions and things. And we got to ask, how much of this is coming because of our inability or our unwillingness to obey God in regard to physical things? Nobody wants to ask that today, do they? I'm not putting blame on anybody. I'm not trying to be like Job's friends and say, you had that problem because of this. I'm not trying to do that. But it is a question that we need to ask. We need to examine ourselves. How much affliction am I suffering? Our children, the generation, what are they having to deal with because of the stubbornness to obey God? We know that many people believe the Bible. And not only that, but you're a father. You ought to be raising your child to eat the right things. I mean, you've already given him genes. I don't know what kind of genes you gave him that's been handed down from your fathers and whatever life you've been living, you know. But okay, so you've already messed that all up, maybe. And so now, here you have this chance to renew his strength like the eagles and blessing by faith and obeying God. And you're feeding them with a whole bunch of junk, not obeying God. And now he can't even get his life healed and strengthened. And he's struggling with all kinds of afflictions that are coming because we won't believe God has the answer. I tell you what, people that say, oh, I believe evolution's wrong. You mean you tell me you don't believe the geologist? You don't believe the biologist? You're telling me you believe God over a biologist and a geologist? And they said, oh yeah, I believe the Bible. Well, why in the world don't you believe God over all the other? What about the nutritionists and the scientists and the drug makers and the doctors? I believe God over those people, you understand? We know that many people believe the Bible is only authoritative concerning spiritual things. Or at least that's what they profess to believe. Yet we've seen that this is a great self-deception. God's Word is despised when it speaks upon physical things. The Bible, years before science ever discerned, revealed that eagles see their prey from far away. Job 39:29. I traced it down. I traced it back to 1890 and I looked at textbooks of all the biologists and scientists. They said, we know an eagle smells its prey. And I showed you, they were teaching children in school. An eagle smells. But our Bible said, no, they see. And all the scientists said, they used to think an eagle sees, of course. Well, now they know an eagle does see. It can see from a mile away a little fish and dive down and get it. How did God... Oh, I just gave it away. How did the Bible know that an eagle a mile away was not smelling but was seeing? How did the Bible know that? Huh? He's the Creator. He's the Creator. He created that eagle. He designed it. He's the designer. Right there in the Word of God. Hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years ahead of modern science. The same Bible revealed that the stars are innumerable. But you trace down the great scientists down through the ages, there's like, oh, I think there's 3,000. No, there's 4,000. No, Kepler says there's 5,000. You know, and so they have all these numbers. But God says, no, there's so many, you'd never be able to count them. And they started getting bigger and bigger telescopes. And the bigger the telescope, the further they looked out, the more they said, uh-oh, we'll never be able to number how many stars there are. That's what God said. That's in the Bible. I would ask how the Bible knew, but I think you're getting the point, right? The Bible revealed that there are paths in the sea. The father of oceanography took up Psalms chapter 8, verse 8, and realized there must be currents in the sea. Well, of course there are. The Bible says so. You got the evaporation system. I've written a little booklet. I just never printed it or published it, but I need to put it together, polish it up. I think we had like 70 of these things, you know, and more. There's numerous examples of how the Bible's wisdom has predated modern science. Okay, now let's go back to the subject of manly strength. Modern researchers are discovering ways in which food affects hormones such as testosterone and thus leads to manly strength, fertility, and vigor. So this is what they're finding out now. They said, you know what? Food affects your male hormones. Well, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Because that means if food affects your male hormones, if you're eating wrong, what's happening to you? You're not as strong as you need to be. And you're losing your manliness. God designed, isn't that something? Who would have ever guessed that God desired a man to be a man and that he can only operate as a man by having the nutrition that he designed him to operate on? I mean, you put the wrong gas in something, you put the wrong oil in something, you take gas that's meant for a chainsaw mixed up with oil and you try to run that over here. I mean, we see these things day by day, but here we have a man, here we have a woman, and God's designed each one to function and their hormones to work. So it's not surprising that the exact foods that God has ordained for His people to eat for their benefit and strength are the very foods that researchers are now finding actually raise testosterone levels in men. You think it's just coincidence? Oh, okay, a man publishes a list of anti-inflammatory foods. And I pick up his list. I say, that's in Genesis. That's in Leviticus. That's in Isaiah. And I say, so this fella, he's got a few mistakes, but pretty much he has a biblical diet. He's telling us the anti-inflammatory foods are right here in the Bible. If you would have just followed a biblical diet, you would have had them years before they even knew what anti-inflammatory was. Well, guess what? You're noticing all these biblical people, their strength, and Israel is strong, and God wants Israel to be strong, and He tells Israel how to eat. Well, guess what? I've been studying this idea of how a man increases his testosterone, how he becomes to the top of his potential. And it's not surprising that the more research they do upon the subject of how a man can increase his vigor, increase his fertility, increase his strength, you got to almost smile. What do you think he's going to end up? When he finally gets all the research done, what do you think he's going to find out? He's going to find out if you would eat exactly like God told you to eat, it increases your testosterone like nothing else. It's amazing. It's amazing. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day that you may be strong. There it is. You call it whatever you want. Testosterone or whatever else they discover. I'm telling you this. For a man to be strong, that's where I rest my case. You eat the Bible diet and you're going to be strong. And when I say Bible diet, I mean a diet that the Bible ordains and in conformity with that biblical diet. We've already read about God satisfying thy mouth with good things that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That sounds like they got plenty of testosterone. Let's begin with the Israelites in bondage in Egypt. What do we learn about the Israelites? Exodus chapter 1, the children of Israel were fruitful. Sounds like they got a lot of testosterone. They increased abundantly. Wow. And they multiplied. No problems there. And waxed exceeding mighty. Wow. That's incredible. They're out there in the sun, working, picking up bricks in the sun. You remember that. And not only picking up bricks in the sun, but eating certain things. This is God's grace and mercy and power. But God can work through natural means as well as outside of them. And we know from history and from the hints in the Bible that the Egyptians ate unclean animals. I've read some of their medical documents. They ate blood. They ate dung. They were gross. And modern researchers have dug up their bodies and examined them and found them to be diseased and plagued with many of the same afflictions found in modern people who eat the standard American diet. We're going back to Egypt. They said, look at this. Cancer and diabetes and all. And they got this big long list of things. They said, these people look like modern Americans. What did God say in Exodus 15? If thou wilt, what? What is it up there, brother? You awake? Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments. That includes what to eat, doesn't it? And keep all His statutes. That includes what He said about honey, what He said about unclean flesh. I mean, that includes all of that stuff. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, I believe it was fornication and wickedness and idolatry that brought diseases upon the Egyptians. But I think it was also eating blood and eating dung and eating unclean flesh and eating all kinds of things. God just worked it all together. You understand? We've seen that the Israelites waxed exceeding mighty. There was obviously no shortage of testosterone. While the Egyptians were feasting upon filth, following the advice of their physicians. What's that sound like? Their physicians told them, if you want to be right, if you want to be healed, eat this. Things that it's almost gross to sit here and even tell you some of that stuff. It's so disgusting. But you know what? It can't be any more disgusting than what Americans produce in a laboratory and call it food. I mean, some of this GMO mess. And you think what an Egyptian ate was disgusting? Why don't you look at a Vienna sausage or a hot dog? Why don't you look at where that hamburger came from and some of this stuff? It's just sick that what Americans are eating. Some of these chickens that never saw daylight sitting there sucking up pig blood. And it's just crazy. A pig sitting there eating blood. Cows eating blood. And people trying to eat this stuff. I tell you. We better find out what the Egyptians were eating. And I pretty much believe you could just go through the Word of God, whatever God said eat, they weren't eating it, you know. So what we really need to figure out is what the Israelites were eating. Because they were fertile. They were strong. They were multiplying exceeding. Well, guess what? The designer is going to tell you what they were eating. Aren't you glad? Where did I go? Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. We remember the what? The fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The what? The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. All right. You don't have to be very smart. You don't. My job, you don't have to be smart. You just have to trust God. See what I mean? You don't have to be very smart. I can write down fish, cucumbers, melon, leeks, onions, and garlic. And I can say, now watch this. I'm going to find out that modern research, because remember the Israelites were what? Fertile and exceeding strong, exceeding mighty. So I said, I'm going to find out that all of those things up there contribute to testosterone levels being high. So let's deal first with garlic and onions, because they were sure eating a lot of it. Garlic and other foods. In the allium family, onions, leeks, chives, shallots, and scallions stimulate the production of glutathione, which helps the liver remove hormone-disrupting chemicals. Well, you probably got a lot of hormone-disrupting chemicals, don't you? All right. Garlic contains a dialdosulfide, which has been found to enhance the release of a hormone that stimulates testosterone production. Journal of Nutrition, August 2001. And there is the link there for you right there. Journalofnutrition.org or jn.nutrition.org. All right, now what did they just find? Garlic enhances the release of a hormone that stimulates testosterone production. All right? So, here you have these Egyptians sitting down, eating their Twinkies and donkey dung. And now you have the Israelites sitting over there working in the sun, picking up bricks and eating garlic. What was happening to the Israelites? They were getting stronger and testosterone was increasing and they were becoming more fertile and more fertile, and they're getting stronger and stronger, so much so that the government had to look and say, look at these people, look how strong they are, we have to do something. Livestrong.com says during the 28-day study, they found that adding garlic powder to a protein-rich diet increased testosterone levels in the body. Garlic incites the secretion of the luteinizing hormone, which improved testosterone production. All right, what were they eating? Garlic. They were fertile, and they were not just mighty, but exceeding mighty. I tell you what, you want your young boy to be strong? Say, son, look what kind of juice I have right here. What is that, Daddy? That's garlic juice. Open up, because you're going to drink a lot of it. Now let me feel your muscle. All right, boy. Oh yeah, you're getting strong, boy. Here's some more. Garlic juice. Drink some more. You know what my boy would be drinking a lot of? He's going to be drinking a lot of before I even knew this, because I knew garlic does about another 99,000 things that are good. So this is, I'm just dealing with the testosterone perspective right now. You got the anti-cancer, antiviral, anti-everything, and maybe it helps some of you fellas with breaks and stuff. Who knows? Amen? Oh, I don't know. Ergo.log-log.com. Think of a dirt cheap vegetable. You can buy at every green grocer's and supermarket. Put it in a juicer. Give the juice to rats for 3 weeks and watch their testosterone level rise by 314%. According to research done at Tabriz University in Iran, fresh onion juice raises testosterone levels as much as drugs. And the problem with raising it through drugs is you get all the side effects and all of the other mess that the drugs bring. You can't duplicate God's food without cursing, ma'am. Studies show that antioxidants can increase production of testosterone. Studies have also shown that onions contain strong antioxidants. The Iranian findings are not completely new. In other words, they've been verifying this over the decades. Now, what's it say up here? We remember the fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic. And now we have study after study showing that garlic and onions increases your testosterone, which increases your fertility, which increases your strength, and all of those things that we need. Livestrong.com says onion has shown a beneficial effect on testosterone levels. According to research reported in the February 2009 issue of the journal Folia Morphologica. All right, there it is. That wasn't very difficult, was it? Israelites are strong. Let's find out what they were eating. They were fertile. Let's find out what they're eating. We know they must have had high testosterone to be fertile and strong. And obviously these things contribute to destruction. I did the same thing when God says the fruit trees of the Bible, the leaves are for your medicine. I said, well, this is going to be pretty simple. I'll go through the biblical fruit trees and find palm and apple leaves and grape leaves. And we'll just take all the biblical olive leaves and we'll just date a fig leaves. And we'll look at all of this, and I bet you we'll type in and find out that they all have studies showing they're anti-cancer, anti-tumor. And you don't have to be smart. You have to believe the Word of God. Amen? Hey, when you believe the Word of God, it makes you smart. Do you see that? Smarter than all your teacher. Who was it in the song? In the song, he said, I'm wiser than all my teacher. How'd you get like that? You just believe God. Just believe God. Wild fish. What else did they eat? Were those farm-raised fish? Not that we know of. No. Fish. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Well, Livestrong.com says certain vitamins have been shown to increase the amount of testosterone your body produces naturally, particularly vitamins A and B6 and a list of others. Livestrong.com says take a B-complex vitamin supplement that includes folic acid, vitamin B5, vitamin B6, vitamin B12 to increase testosterone production. And I say, no, delete that, because they're telling you to take a bunch of drugs. Most vitamins that you buy today are drugs. They're synthetic, man-made. Even these ones that are on the radio and that everybody's hyping and they're trying to be anti-conspiracy, and you don't understand that they're working through those vitamins to kill the very people that are supposed to be awake and see. They're giving you drugs. They're not giving you natural food to eat. They're giving you synthetic vitamins. And that's a whole other issue. But you can take Livestrong.com, and find out what vitamin B6 is in. What is vitamin B12 in? Because it increases testosterone production. Let's find out what it's in. And that's how you have to operate, see. Sadly, many people are taking these drugs, these synthetic vitamins, to gain these crucial nutrients. But what's happening is they're popping these vitamin pills, these synthetic vitamins. Oh, they might throw in a little bit of parsley or a little dandelion every now and then, just to kind of, you know, get some dirt off the ground, throw a few minerals in there, a little bit of sea salt or something. But the whole thing is synthetic. The B vitamins are synthetic. Everything is fake. It's laboratory. Man can't create food. And you're going to end up with cancers and all kinds of trouble. He said, oh, I'll take my multivitamin. Oh, no, these are the good. I buy these at the health food store. I know they're still junk. They're still filled with nothing but fakes and they're drugs. That's what they are. And I've written some of the biggest vitamin companies, and I'll show you the emails, and they tried to fake it. They tried to fake it till I wouldn't let go, and I kept hammering in and kept hammering in till finally they had to write back and admit, well, we never said they weren't synthetic. It's like, okay, it sure took me a long time to get you to confess it. That's another subject. The richest sources of vitamin B6 are what? Fish, beef liver, and organ meats. Wild fish, especially salmon, is also high in vitamin D. Why is that important? High vitamin D level equals high testosterone level, says ergo-log.com. There's an amazing simple way for Western men to raise their testosterone level. All they have to do is take a supplement containing extra vitamin D. What's wrong with that? It's synthetic, fake, it's a drug. At least this is what we deduced from an epidemiological study done at Medical University Grouse in Australia, which will soon be published in Clinical Endocrinology. Vitamin D is actually a hormone, one that regulates 3% of our gene. Among those genes are a few that are responsible for the production of testosterone. So vitamin D is an important vitamin, that's right, when it's real. Certainly, once you realize that an overwhelming majority of the Western population has too little vitamin D in their blood, this is because our food contains too little vitamin D, so we have to rely mainly on the vitamin D that our body makes. When exposed to sunlight, our skin cells convert cholesterol into vitamin D. What were they doing? They're out in the sun, working. They were getting their cholesterol transformed into vitamin D. But we get too little sunlight. That's why we need light. We need light. We need sunlight. The more vitamin D the men had in their blood, the higher their testosterone levels and their concentration of free testosterone. Well, that means we need to get out in the sun and we need vitamin D. Where's vitamin D found? Wild fish. What were they eating? Wild fish with garlic and onions. Man, these fellas, I mean, can you imagine? They had everything, and not just one thing, but you just had a whole line of things, and every one of them contributes to ultimate testosterone. Wow. What if God's people believed God here in America? If all the Christians just got together and started believing God, and while everybody else is dying and getting sick, they're just thriving and multiplying, that's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. Newsletter.vitalchoice.com, wild salmon affirmed as top vitamin D source. There it is. Can't get any better than that. Harvard study finds farm salmon and other fatty species fall far short in the D department. Well, of course they do. Sun exposure is the most reliable source, but among foods, fish are the best sources by far. How about that? They were eating fish. You get it? Fish. Boston University team found that wild salmon had 988 IUs of vitamin D for a 3-ounce serving, which is 147% more than the U.S. RDA. Farm salmon had only 25% of the vitamin D content of wild salmon. Wild fish in the waters around Galilee likely included a large supply of sardines. The Bible mentions these little fishes, and I researched to try to find out, what likely were the fishes that they were digging out of the lakes and the Sea of Galilee and these oceans around Galilee when Jesus was around? And pretty much universally, down through the ages, it's agreed that they were sardines. These little sardines. That's not the only thing they had, but definitely sardines were one of their main fish that they pulled out of those waters. And I said, oh, I bet you we're going to find some good things about sardines. You know what I mean? WHFoods.com says sardines are rich in numerous nutrients. They are one of the most concentrated sources of omega-3s. Sardines are an excellent source of vitamin B12, second only to calf's liver, as the world's healthiest food most concentrated in this nutrient. So they're eating these sardines and their onions and these garlic and they were just... No wonder they could walk up. And I know they had God's power, but I'm saying that God's power was working through their diet as well as outside of it. And I believe that as long as they had God's blessing, that they could whoop them giants naturally. I believe when Caleb said in his 80s, I can get up there and whoop them right now. I believe they were big, but they weren't powerful. I believe them Israelites could just go up and punch them and they'd fall down and they just had that ability, you know. That's what I believe. Sardines are a rich source of bone-building vitamin D. Aha! Sardines are rich in protein. With growing concern over the health of the seas, people are turning to sardines since they're at the bottom of the aquatic food chain, feeding solely on plankton, and therefore do not concentrate heavy metals such as mercury and contaminants as do some other fish. So God's just blessing you. Amen? He's just blessing you. NPR.org even says, low vitamin D levels, sardines to the rescue. Who would ever believe a biblical fish is going to straighten it all out? Vitamin D is abundant in fatty fish like sardines, tuna, and salmon. Vitamin D deficiency could be linked to a host of health problems, including cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and certain cancers, and also low testosterone and infertility in men. So, eat your wild fish, eat your fatty, wild fish with some nice garlic and onions, and get out there in the sun and roll some boulders around or something. Mow some grass and do something. Amen? Get out there in the sun. Now, I didn't say go get naked out in the sun. Okay? You just need to get on your face and on your arms and stuff, but you don't need to get out there and get sun cancer. That's what they're doing. They're not eating right, number one. And then number two, they're getting out here naked in the sun. And they never did that in the Bible. You can get out in the sun and get your vitamin D without getting naked in the sun. Okay? All right, cucumbers and melons. That's something else they were eating, right? We remember the fish, which you did eat in Egypt freely, cucumbers and melons. And I won't take too long. We could give you some more documentation on that, and we did in the past. But cucumbers and melons, they're of the same family. Among other benefits, they're all over the internet, articles about how they increase circulation, leading to strength and overall health, especially in men. They increase man's circulation, and obviously that help men reproduce, help men be fertile, help men be strong, and all the ways that circulation would help men. So, here they are. Antiviral, antibacterial, increasing their testosterone, eating leeks and melons and cucumbers and squash and all these things of the melon family. And they're getting this circulation that's just, their blood's just circulating, cleaning their bodies and everything's working. And they're fertile and they're strong. And wow. But what else do you know about the Bible? They ate a lot of olive oil, didn't they? Boy, I bet you olive oil. I it's pretty simple. You're going to find out that olive oil blesses your testosterone. Deuteronomy 8 was the land of oil, olive. I started noticing, there's a lot of stories about these people, but these people keep dying at 122. And you say, well, what did they do? And they have differences that they do, but there's always some consistent things that they did. You know, a lot of times it was, I just took a little bit of olive oil every single day. I put it on everything I eat. So if that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, what do you think's going to happen? Olive oil is going to bless you. The vine is dried up, says Joel, and the fig tree languishes, and the pomegranate tree, and the palm tree also. That's where coconut comes from. Coconut palm. Date palm. Coconut palm. Ergo-log.com says olive oil converts cholesterol more easily into testosterone. The more fat you eat, the more testosterone your body produces. That's not trans fat. That's more fat, more testosterone. The best source of testosterone-boosting fat, Argentinian researchers concluded a year ago after a study on rats, is olive oil. The same researchers have now published the results of another animal study in lipids, which shows how olive oil increases the production of testosterone. Researchers working at the Instituto de Investigaciones, etc., did an experiment with male rats. Coconut oil and olive oil were the best testosterone boosters. So, throw me a little olive oil on my garlic and my wild fish. And then you better not mess with me. Makes us strong, amen? Pomegranate. Joel 1. The vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth and the pomegranate tree. Pomegranate. Well, I tell you what, you want to find fertility and strength? Just look at the shepherd king of Song of Solomon 8. And whatever he's drinking and eating is what you want to eat and drink. I would lead thee, says Song of Solomon 8, and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spice wine of the juice of my pomegranate. On your own time, go study myrrh and some of these other things he was using. And just do your own investigation. I've given you the key. Now you go find it. I don't have to spell everything out for you. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. All right, it's obvious that this fella drinking pomegranate juice, and I wonder what that does for you. Anybody want to guess? It's going to do something to your testosterone, right? Because it's in the Bible, and he was strong. So now, endocrine, and this is the actual study, endocrine-abstracts.org, pomegranate juice intake enhances salivary testosterone levels and improves mood. Recently, we have shown that pomegranate juice, rich in polyphenolic antioxidants, can alleviate stress and cardiovascular risk factors. The aim of this study was to investigate whether pomegranate juice intake influences mood and salivary testosterone levels. The testosterone levels increased significantly. This study shows that consumption of pomegranate pure juice has significantly increased salivary testosterone levels, average of 24%, in addition to effects on blood pressure, mood, and positive scores of anxiety and emotions, and a large group of workers from different disciplines. See, I want to share the things I know. See, it's important that we learn these things, and all of us be strong. All of our children be strong. But I do know one thing, it's not just the information. It's having the dedication, the faith, to say, I see this, Lord, and I'm going to put it into effect. See. So now you got olive oil and pomegranate juice and some cucumbers and some garlic and some onions and some wild fish. What else do they have? They had some figs, right? The vine is dried up, says Joel, and the fig tree languishes. That wasn't good. They need their fig tree. 1 Kings 4, Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Well, I bet you figs are going to make you strong. Because a man is under his fig tree, so it's going to make him strong. People say, oh, I don't eat. I'm not talking fig Newton. They got some figs in it, but they got a whole bunch of other mess in there. Amen? Well, here's healthy.net. Roman gladiators were fed figs before combat to have supreme strength. I'm not telling you to follow Roman gladiators morally. But where they agree with the Bible, and they found out, hey, these things make you strong. Strong to go to battle. That's a life and death situation. And they're eating figs. And the Bible says, I'm going to get every man dwelling under his fig tree. There's something about figs that make you strong. We just believe, so I don't even need to go through any more of this. Open up the page, find out something they were eating in the Bible, and go eat it. And it'll make you strong. And you'll be years ahead of the research. He sent Joseph some almonds. I didn't even do almonds here. But I bet you almonds are going to do something to inhibit the estrogenic effects in your body. I mean, just go do what the Bible says and you're going to be strong. Roman gladiators were fed figs. Figs are antibacterial. We know that. Antiparasitic. Restorative. Anti-cancer. Anti-worm. Figs are sometimes called bright vision fruit due to their ability to improve eyesight, helping liver function, or via liver function. Figs are rich in B6. We already saw that's important for testosterone. Folic acid, calcium, copper, iron, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, and potassium. Pliny noted that ancient gladiator warriors were fed a diet of figs to increase their strength and stamina. Okay, I believe it, because God showed how important figs were. Along with figs, gladiators commonly ate barley. So did they do it in the Bible, Deuteronomy 8. Especially when you're taking barley and fresh grain, you know what I mean? Some of those fresh grains there and not having them all stale. Whole barley. Olive oil is what they said that the gladiators would eat. They would just drink that olive oil and put their barley cakes in it. They would drink grape juice and sometimes they would eat goat meat, which they thought would give them the strength. And apparently, since the Bible talks about you'll have goat's milk enough and talks about goats all throughout the Bible, I believe they did discover some strength. They had grape juice and goat and barley and figs, and I believe they had a man's diet right there. Ancient Olympic competitors were also fed a diet of figs. Sometimes they cheated and they would do juniper, which was their version of caffeine. Caffeine is inside juniper. And so I'm not telling you they were perfect in everything they did, but when it comes to their diet, when they weren't doing drugs, they were eating figs. Michael Murray, Encyclopedia of Healing Foods, says in the time of ancient Olympics, athletes were reported to eat special foods such as dried figs to enhance their sports performance. Carmus of Sparta attributed his success in foot races in the ancient Olympics to a diet of dried figs. And they're all throughout the Bible. Figs, figs, figs everywhere. So, I believe there's something to figs, don't you? Then honey. It says that Jonathan, after he had been fighting all day, he dipped the end of his rod in that honeycomb and he put it to his mouth and his eyes were enlightened. He was refreshed and strengthened. Michael Murray goes on to say, in the time of the ancient Olympics, athletes were reported to eat honey and dried figs to enhance their sports performance. In modern studies, the honey group maintained optimal blood sugar levels throughout the 2 hours following the workout. You see the Lord, and He would make them wild fish with a little bit of honeycomb on the side. I didn't say go engorge and become a glutton on honey. I didn't say that. You got your fish, put your little honey on the side there, and there you go. You're going to get strong. You're going to have testosterone. You're going to have what you need to have to be a man. Grapes. First Kings says, Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his what? Vine. Genesis 49, his eyes shall be red with wine. That's not from a hangover. That's from drinking red grapes. Isaiah 27, in that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of what type of wine? Red wine. Remember, wine in the Bible means grape juice. Sometimes it means alcohol. You got to look at the context. Ezekiel, but what type of grape juice? Red. Ezekiel 47, the fruit thereof shall be for meat, the leaf thereof for medicine. Even Wikipedia says resveratrol is found in the skin of what kind of grapes? Red grapes. And so, you don't even have to do it. I said, now watch this. I'm going to put one hand behind my back, and you're going to type in resveratrol and testosterone, and it's going to work. This is really what I did. This is how I sat down. You got to enjoy studying, you know what I mean? And you just had to say, now watch this. And sure enough, it all comes up. Here it is. Resveratrol is found in the skin of red grapes. A Korean study showed that trans resveratrol supplementation increased testosterone levels in mice. A Spanish study has shown that these antioxidants, such as resveratrol, increase fertility in male rats. So they're giving them this resveratrol, and they're reproducing, and they're getting stronger, and their muscles are growing bigger, and all of these things are happening, and it's all from this resveratrol that comes from red grapes. And God gave them a bunch of red grapes to eat, along with their garlic and onions and wild fish and honey. You wouldn't want to mess with an ancient Israelite. I tell you. And guess what? Grape leaves contain up to 100 times more resveratrol than the fruit. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily was what you're supposed to eat every day, but in this day and age, you probably need the medical version of it. Based upon how toxic we're living in this day and age. So eating some grape leaves might transform a lot of people. It's also found abundantly in mulberries. You know, mulberry trees in the Bible, the sound of the going. We now hear the sound of the going on top of the mulberry tree. We ought to get going. Amen? I tell you, mulberries are filled with resveratrol, which increases testosterone. And then there's muscadines, which is wild grape. And you start thinking, wow, the wilder the grape, when man hasn't touched it, and it's just sitting out here in the woods, imagine what's in those leaves. Imagine what's in those grapes. And sure enough, there's people investing in that right now. I said a year ago or so that you ought to see about investing. There's people buying up acreage in North Carolina, everywhere, because they know that medical, they see the studies. And they know pretty soon people are going to start looking, unless they keep trying to shut it down. That's always a possibility. But they're banking on the fact that, you know, they can get 10 acres or however much and really make some money by selling muscadines. Let's just do some quick miscellaneous before we wind down here, because we could keep doing this all day, obviously. But you know, there's raw dairy in the Bible, goat milk and cheese and things. There's leafy greens, the bitter herbs that the Bible talks about, and the Bible says the herbs of the mountains are for your service, the service of man. And all these things contain calcium. Ergo-log.com says calcium raises testosterone levels in athletes. Don't go take fake calcium, but find out what calcium is in. And it's going to be in whatever God said to eat. The concentration of free testosterone in athletes after training is higher if the athletes have more calcium in their system. Sports scientists at the Selçuk University in Turkey discovered this and will publish their findings in Biological Trace Element Research. What's calcium found in? Oh, wild fish, dairy, and dark leafy greens. All the stuff the Israelites would have been eating daily. So they were getting plenty of calcium, plenty of vitamin D, plenty of everything they needed for optimum testosterone. Weston A. Price says, foods rich in vitamin A also bolster testosterone levels. Abundant animal research indicates the importance of vitamin A to the production of testosterone. Vitamin A even decreases estrogen production in males. Rats that are deficient in vitamin A experience decreased testosterone. Well, what's vitamin A in? It's in eggs. Get you some eggs for some chickens that are running around eating real food, like bugs and things. Carrots, kale, pumpkin, that's one of the melon family. Spinach, that's the wild greens. Sweet potatoes, squash, cantaloupe, all of that's filled with vitamin A. So believe me, the Israelites were getting plenty of vitamin A. People don't get much of it today because they're not getting many leafy greens. They're not getting many of these things that vitamin A is found in. But instead of just doing one, like saying, well, I'm going to get my carrots over here and I'm going to juice my carrot. What about this whole biblical diet here? Imagine when you put all that together and you are taking some basics like olive oil and garlic and keeping them in your, you know, and some good dairy, some grass-fed dairy or whatever. Everybody doesn't have to do the same. But the point is, you get these figs and you get these grape juice and or grapes, whatever. And then, Livestrong says, what you already know, get regular strenuous exercise, such as resistance training, or find some work to do. Find some work to do. Weightlifting, I mean, if there's no work to do, then go lift weight. And endurance running to increase testosterone levels. Decreasing excess body fat helps to decrease estrogen and raise testosterone production in men. Additionally, learn to manage stress levels in healthy ways to naturally increase testosterone. We did a whole study on managing stress levels by how prayer and casting your cares upon God improve your testosterone. So, you're to love God, rejoice in Him, hope in Him, cry to Him. That includes praying. And He says, I'll strengthen you when you cry unto Me. Well, what are you doing when you cry but casting your cares upon the Lord? And one of His commands is that you do diligent whatever thy hand findeth to do and not be slothful. He gave you the whole book of Proverbs about not being lazy and getting out here and working and being strong. And He says, it's good that thy eyes see the sun. So get out here and get your daylight. Get some work. Eat the proper foods that the Bible says. Cast your cares upon God. And I tell you what, man, you're going to be strong. You're going to be strong. Along with these things, avoid plastic. Avoid just about every one of the health scams that deceive men into decreasing their testosterone or whatever. They advertise it. If they market it to men, you could pretty much stop and say Rockefeller. Just pretty much stop. Say it's a Rockefeller scam. Somebody has some, quote, global agenda to decrease the population. And they want you to believe, wow, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to take this and I'm going to be strong. And you're taking it, trying to increase your testosterone and thinking, I don't have to eat like God said. I can go ahead and eat the junk out here. And I can just take this little thing here that they're marketing at the health food store. It's a scam, folks. It's a scam. Some of the latest scams have been soy. Of course, they busted that one, but they just went on the new one. Saul Palmetto. How many? They got just about the whole nation upon Saul Palmetto. And Saul Palmetto was supposed to be P-A-L-M-E-T-T-O. I mean, you want your hair to fall out on your arm, and you want to start being emotional and whiny, and coming to your wife and say, oh, I don't know, I just kind of feel like you haven't been talking to me lately. I mean, you want to act like that. Start taking your saw palmetto. And I verified this with a lot of other men, too, that said, that's what's been wrong with me. And then I found the Indians understood that was a woman's thing that you take for increasing all the women's issues. And some of these things are smart. They could also work in men. But saw palmetto we have not found to be working. In fact, look at the scientific literature. They know it decreases your testosterone. That's why it supposedly helps with the prostate. Flax, we talked about that scam. In the Bible, they had a lot of flax, but they wore it on their body. You don't eat it. Maca, that's been a latest one, you know. And sure enough, if you want the hair on your leg to fall out, just go ahead and take some maca. And yes, all that stuff. If they're putting it out, it is estrogenic for the purpose of decreasing your testosterone. And I'm not saying every single thing out there is, but go do it. And what you'll find is 50 of the articles will say, oh, yeah, use maca. But then you start looking deeper and start looking at the research. You're like, wait a minute, it decreased testosterone in rats. Wait a minute, people are taking this for things that I don't want to do. And you're starting to, and you put it all together, and you're starting to understand, okay, I've been scammed again. I've been scammed. Yes, sir. Brother, I tell you what, there's probably some rejuvenation of your adrenals that stuff does, but here's what's sad about it. All the studies that they're publicizing for maca are telling you, well, it'll only work if you take a whole lot of it. So it'll only really increase your testosterone if you take a whole lot. Then you look over here, all the other studies said, well, if you start taking a whole lot of maca, then basically, you know, you're going to start having some serious issues. Not only emotional, but, you know, gyna, macala, all that other stuff, you know. So then you say, but I thought the Peruvians for thousands of years, and it's all a big scam. You know, they found out, you could look on Wikipedia, they said, well, they found out that wasn't exactly true, you know. 1980, you know, they found some fellows around this lake, you know, that were saying, hey, we got some maca here, you want to try it? And so they're like, okay, I guess we kind of, I tell you what, brother, they will make merchandise of you. But the big problem is you're going to end up, whatever the next wave is. I'm saying if you want to increase your testosterone and you want to be strong, you want to be fertile, then let's pray, let's be righteous, let's do all the things we're supposed to do, and let's eat like God told us to eat. Free from pesticides, which are also estrogenic. But, you know, talking good, clean, real food, not GMO mess, not plastic mess. And I'll close with these verses. Romans 3, yea, let God be true, but every man a what? A liar. 1 Corinthians 1, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Isaiah 42, new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Where does he tell you at? The Word of God. Revelation 16, and they repented not to give him glory. The more man finds out all this stuff could give him glory, are they going to give God glory? No, they're going to talk about all of these things, and nobody, or very few, are going to say, well, isn't that interesting? That gives glory to God. That's right there in the Bible. They don't give God glory. And God's getting angry. God's getting angry that they're having the research to find out all of this stuff, and they ought to be glorifying God, glorifying the Bible, and instead, they're not. They're not giving any glory to God about it all. And it's a shame. And it's in my best interest as a pastor to have you as manly as you could be. And I'm not afraid. I know you'll get confrontational. We'll be out here talking. I'm not afraid of that. Praise God. I'd rather have you confrontational than to be whiny. Amen? Amen. I don't want you whiny. And so it's in my best interest to increase your testosterone. Amen? Amen. Any comments or questions?